Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat, whether you're on a cushion on the floor or in a chair or on the sofa. In all cases, sitting in some way that enables you to feel uplifted. And as we begin, I want to mention that I'm getting over the flu, and it's brutal. I mean, in the great scheme of things, of course it isn't, but I had no idea the flu was this bad. Anyway, I'm fine. Obviously, I'm sitting here making this video, but I feel slow. I feel a little foggy. And so I ask your forgiveness in advance. And further, I would like to urge you to not get the flu. If there's anything you can do to avoid this, do not get it, because I had no idea. Again, in the great scheme of things, it's not a big deal, but it's not fun. In any case, as you get settled, I want to talk a little bit about something I know is of interest to you, even if I may not know you personally, which is, how can I help others? How can I be of benefit? What can I do in this world of sorrow to meet other people in their sorrow or rage or whatever they're experiencing to be of benefit? And, you know, I thank you in advance for that inspiration. And I have one suggestion, basically, just one. And it comes from my work as a meditation teacher, as a Dharma teacher. So in other words, it's not about psychotherapy. It's not about counseling. It's not about curing or healing or anything like that. I don't have any training in such disciplines and therefore know nothing about them. But as a meditation teacher who talks to people about how they work with their own minds, there are things I've noticed that I found are useful and that are direct consequences of our meditation practice. So before I make my earth-shattering suggestion, I want to say that the first thing to think about in the desire to be a benefit to others is to consider your own mental well-being first. We all go through times in our lives where we can't handle any more suffering. We can't handle our own. And we certainly can't pile on to that, the suffering of others, without breaking or without doing damage to ourselves and therefore being incapable of benefiting this other person. So we have to be very careful with our own inner balance. And please think of yourself first. So sometimes in the Open Heart Project Sangha, which you are warmly invited to join, people bring up things that are extremely difficult. For example, we have a weekly gathering every Friday for 1 hour at 3 o'clock East Coast time. You're invited for Sangha members. And there's no particular agenda. It's just what's going on, how can I help, and so on. And often people have questions like, why do I have to keep my eyes open in meditation? Or, you know, what do you mean by non-attachment? And, you know, totally good questions. And other times people bring up extremely painful things, things that they're very afraid of. Someone they love is having surgery, or they just lost their job and they don't know what they're going to do, or someone they love died. There's no way that I can help on a certain level. I can't get a job. I can't make the sick people better. I can't do any of those things. But what I find that I can do and you can do, and I also happen to think that this is the most beneficial thing, is just be with that person. Hear them. Feel what they're feeling. Hold their experience with them. It may sound wimpy and like, well, I want to help and I want to do things. And great, okay, that's cool. But in a Dharma context, first, it is helpful to simply turn your attention to the person who is suffering and let your attention rest on them. And then often in these Sangha gatherings, you know, everybody wants to do something, of course, which is because everybody's wonderful. But the best suggestion I can come up with is, let's just sit with this person for a minute and imagine that we could hold that pain, just a little piece, with them and send them our love. Let's take down the boundary a little bit between what you're experiencing and my presence. Just for a minute, for a few breaths. And then that's the only thing that I can think of that actually I think is useful. To feel not so alone, even for a moment. And to feel the kindness and caring of others. That's a big deal. The Zen priest and poet John Tarrant Roshi once said, and I read this like 20 years ago and I will never forget it as long as I live, attention is the most basic form of love. Through it, we bless and are blessed. Attention is the most basic form of love. So that is a beautiful and much more concise way of saying what I am suggesting, which is to let your attention rest on the person who is struggling, not to fix, and not to enter their space. But to take them in. That is the most basic form of love. So, how do we learn how to do that? How to place our attention on someone else? First of all, don't take my word for that, obviously. Ask yourself, how do I feel when I'm talking to someone about my suffering and I can feel that they're really listening? They're not trying to fix, they're not looking for solutions, they're not trying to calm their own anxiety that my suffering may produce in them, which may be part of the inspiration for wanting to help me. Okay. How does it feel to just be heard? And what effect does it seem to have on others when you do that for them? So my experience is it changes everything. Attention is the most basic form of love. So in our meditation practice, which we're fixing to do right now, what are we doing? We're working with attention. Full stop. You have your body. You have your breath. You have your thoughts, blah, blah, blah. But you purposefully bring your attention to the feeling of the body breathing, and you let your attention rest on the wave of breath. And when it strays, you just come back. And there's no objective. I'm going to become the world's best breath follower, or once I really can let my attention rest on the breath fully, I'll be a Buddha. Maybe you will. I don't know. But that's not what we're doing here. We're working with placement of attention. And in the case of our meditation, the placement is on the breath. But it's not so we can be great breath followers. It's so that I'm practicing placement of attention so that when I sit with you and you tell me of your suffering, I know how to place my attention on you because I have practiced doing so with my breath. So, okay, meditation, there's science that says it's great. Okay, blah, blah. Thank you, science. But what we're really doing, I would say, is deepening our capacity to love. And this goes way beyond self-help, way beyond, you know, metabolic regulation. I don't even know if that's a thing. I just made that up, maybe. Instead, or in addition, has unbelievable consequence in the world of relationships. So yay for that. And thus, it is no coincidence that meditation is famously associated with compassion and loving kindness. And somehow the root of this relationship between meditation and compassion and loving kindness has to do with the capacity to place attention. Nothing to do with what you feel or what a good person you are, although you are. But everything to do with where you are willing to invest your attention. So let's practice that. So please establish your posture by sitting up straight. Your version of straight. The hands are palms down on the legs, just above the knee. The belly is soft. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, and the breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold or the flu, God forbid. Breathe your way in all cases, but barring respiratory situations, the breath is natural in and out through the nose. Natural meaning no particular technique. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And part of the reason we sit with our eyes open is so that we can pay attention to our world and to each other. Let the brow relax. Now feel the body breathing, which is the same thing as letting your attention rest on the breath. So again, as you may have heard me say before, we're not noticing the breath, which implies a kind of stepping away and looking back. We're feeling the breath, which involves stepping in to your inner experience and feeling the body breathe in and out. That's all. Just feeling. There's no particular objective here because each breath is different. So feel that breath. And let there be a sense of attention resting on the breath rather than gripping or tracking, resting. Finally, we can rest our minds. Your mind continues to make thoughts like little backgroundy noises, or it doesn't stop, then there's no effort to stop thinking. That's crazy. Just let your thoughts be as they are. Just like you sort of can't stop seeing or can't stop hearing, you can't stop your mind from moving, which is called thinking. And there's no need to do so. They're just things that are happening. But the primary attention is on the breath. Breath is in the foreground. Thoughts come and go, blah, blah, blah. However, if you notice that you have become fully absorbed in thinking, not a thought, just completely absorbed to the point where you've forgotten about your breath. Very good. You just woke up. You saw what your mind was doing. So the instruction here is notice that. Label that moment thinking. Then just let go. just let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again. Feeling the body breathe, resting the mind on the breath. And no matter how often or infrequently it absconds, it doesn't matter. When you notice that you have gotten lost, just come back. That's the full practice. So we'll sit together for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. And please think about the great words of John Tarrant Roshi. Attention is the most basic form of love. And please appreciate yourself for practicing, deepening your ability to love.